This is Tim Gray, and now I haven't known him as long as he's been saved, because he got saved at 5. And but around 15 years of age, we came together. I was the youth pastor, and he was one of my youth, and we had lots of exploits, lots of incredible times in God and adventures together. And I just want to tell you one little teeny bit of trivia about Tim. There's lots to tell. We took all of our youth to a Circle Square ranch for a rodeo, and one of the things that we did at the rodeo was barrel racing. And anybody who wanted to do the barrel racing could do the barrel racing. And the fastest time on horseback was about 20 seconds, which is actually not that bad for amateurs. And but Tim said, "I can do that," and he ran on foot the barrels in 17 seconds. But it's been an incredible journey over many years of loving each other, and lots of incredible things. Now, he came this weekend to minister to the men, and boy, did we ever have an incredible weekend. It's been absolutely awesome. And having him up here for the weekend, we wanted him to just minister the word of the Lord. He's a man of God and servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. So why don't you stretch your hands toward him? I'm going to pray for him today, and you can join me. Thank you, Father, for servants. And Lord, you say in your word, Lord, that we don't rely on our own ability, but we rely on the ability that God supplies. Lord, you say that if anyone's going to speak, let him speak as a mouthpiece of God. That's the reality of Christ in us. You actually do speak through us, Lord. And we just pray for Tim today. We pray that he would be the mouthpiece of God for us. Rhema word, life-giving word from him today to build up, strengthen, encourage, exhort every person who's walked into this place today. Bless him. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. I'll tell you, I'm glad that he stopped at that trivia, because there's many other things. I'm loaded. I got it today. I think, yeah, I might need another box and a garbage can. Oh my goodness. Let me get locked up here. Unlocked, I should say. I tell you, I can't tell you how much of an honor it is to be here. It is. I have been blessed more than I'm sure I've blessed. I am fuller today than I've given out. I'll put it that way. It's just amazing. The worship was unbelievable this morning. Absolutely unbelievable, and quite literally, everything that has happened this morning already has been a lead-in to what we're going to talk about this morning. And so God's hand is definitely on here. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I have notes. I'm going to prove it to you. I have notes. You can come up and look if you want. But I'm going to tell you this right now. God has dumped so much into my heart this morning that it literally was almost confusing. And so I'm just, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. There's been a lot of prayer that's gone into here, and it's going to be great because God is going to be speaking this morning. I'm just a guy. I'm a businessman. I own a business, obviously, because I'm a businessman. But I say that to tell you that, you know what, I'm just a guy. I'm just a guy. And I'm a guy that's sold out to God. He is the strong and mighty tower that I run into when things get tough. And then he gives me a battle plan, and then we run out and we start killing things. That's what we do. It's that's who he is. That's who he is. Oh, there we go. See, there was even more notes. There is a little bit of honor I want to give this morning, and that is to Mike and Mo. That's one reason why I have the tissues. Growing up, when we went to I moved from Fort St. James. My dad was a pastor there. He got changed to be a pastor and moved through the PAOC to Heart Highway Pentecostal Church. When we went there, I was given the decision where I wanted to go to school. And Full Gospel Christian Academy was their first year of opening in Prince George. And I said, yeah, that's where I want to go. And it was a good decision, hugely good decision. And because I had been coming out of, I was 15 years old, there was like three people in our school, in the high school, that were Christians. And so out of 350 kids, it was tough. And none of them went to our church. And so it was tough. I was being forced into some decisions. And by coming to Full Gospel Academy, I'll tell you what, best decision of my life, aside from accepting Jesus my Lord and personal Savior. And these two right here, yeah. I don't know if they knew where I was at in their hearts, but they certainly responded to me the correct way. And every time they saw me, they were pulling. They were pulling the things that had been built inside of me as growing up as a Christian man. They were kept pulling these things out. Tim, why don't you pray? Well, I'm in front of the school, right? And they kept pushing me into these things. And Stu Moderum, my goodness, that guy was a rock star too. And he's having fun upstairs now. So, but the worship and the wisdom and the teaching that you guys brought into my life was unbelievable. The standard that you set was amazing. It was a high standard. And I'm just thankful that you're in my life. I tell you, I am who I am today in a large part because of you guys. And I want to bless you with that. I am a dynasty for you. I'm a legacy, I should say. A legacy that's going to continue on. And my kids are going to reap the benefits of what these folks have put into my life. And I am just so thankful, so thankful. Worship. I love worship. I love it. And boy, sitting in youth group and that, and just the worship was absolutely amazing. I have two stories to tell about Pastor Mike and myself, and just, and they're good stories because they're funny a little bit. So the last time that I actually preached a message was at Full Gospel Christian Academy. That's a long time ago. And they said, hey, Tim, Pastor Stu had come and said, we want you to preach on I think it was a Wednesday morning where we'd have our chapel. And so my dad's a pastor, so I thought, oh, no problem. What I did was I just went through my dad's messages and I picked one. And now I was quite honest about it when I got in front of everyone. I said, you know, I said, listen, I said, I took a message from my dad, and I think this is very pertinent for today. And what I didn't know, so anyhow, I'm going on, and the message was probably about 35, 40 minutes, actually. and what I didn't realize was that Pastor Mike was supposed to speak after me. So I completely took up all his time. I'm sure they were thinking I was going to go up there for like 5 or 10 minutes. They didn't know I had an ace up my sleeve, right, with my dad's. And do you remember what that was on? No. It was on worship. And true to form, Pastor Mike got up there and he was crying, just like I was, because it was a really powerful message, which is why I took it. Because it was on, and I was honest about it. So anyhow, that was the first thing. The second thing was, and I felt so bad after this, is that we were actually in a youth meeting, and we were praying for people, and people were getting ministered to, and the word of the Lord was coming out and everything, and this was part of the pulling out of me. And Pastor Mike turns to me, and he says, Tim, like we're all kneeling down praying for someone, and he says, Tim, do you have a word for this person. I'm sitting here, I'm going, oh my goodness, I got nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing. And I'm sitting here and I'm going, okay, cram time. Do I have something? And I just said, you know, and I felt so bad. I said, you know what, I got nothing. And he was so gracious to me. He says, okay. And he just moved on. And I'm like, oh, man, I feel bad. Like, he's a man of God. Like, was I supposed to have something? I should have had something. And then anyhow, it was crazy. So I didn't have anything. I got something this morning. And God is so good. Man, I'm living. This is great. So the second honor I want to bestow is on my mom and dad. And obviously they would have the biggest impact on my life being ministers of the word. And a lot of this, what we're going to talk about this morning is because I was raised in a godly home. It was good teaching. We weren't without issues. That's for sure. I was probably the biggest issue, but anyhow, I just want to honor them because they're not quitters. They have taught me that if there's a problem, there is an answer. All you have to do is go get it. You got to go find it. And that's been something in my life that has carried me through everything. Everything. Absolutely everything. There's always an answer. Always an answer. Otherwise, he's not God. He ceases to be God if he doesn't have an answer. Now, the biggest one. I want to honor God. And this is where the download has come. He makes the rules. He makes the rules. And when I say that, that means that he will always have a victory for us. I read this book, Made in America, one time, and there was a story about this guy. It was a true story about this guy, and he had lost everything. And the guy that lost everything wrote this book, and this was what he had to do. So this old man meets him one day while he was visiting his wife. He'd take a break for about an hour because his wife was dying in the hospital, and he met this guy, and he was an ex-cop, a big, strong guy. He'd retired early. Long story short, they make this deal that I will show you how to get everything back, the old man said to this young guy, if you race me. He said, and whoever wins the race, he says, if you beat me, I'll just leave you alone. Because the guy was kind of ticked off that this guy kept pushing on him because they had met for about a week and a half every morning. He says, but if I win, then you have to sit and listen to me. So this is what he did. The guy was like 70-some years old. And this guy was like 35, this cop, right? And so it's race day. They get there, and he goes, we're going to race from, the old man, he says, we're going to race from here to there. And the policeman says, yeah, sure, okay. And he says, I'm quite a bit older than you. So I think I should have a little bit of a head start. He says, why don't you give me like 15, 20 foot head start? And the guy says, he says, 70 years old, he can hardly walk. He says, now I'm not saying like we're setting new standards for 70. I'm just saying this guy here was in rough shape. This guy here was in rough shape. I'm not saying you fall apart when you're 70, because I'm looking forward to be doing really good when I'm 70. So anyhow, yeah, okay, I got out of that one. So then the guy says, yeah, okay, no problem. 20-foot head start. And he says, okay. He says, you're in way better shape than I am. Way better shape than I am. So he says, so what I'm going to do is I think you should wear this backpack. There's a, there's, and he says there was about 30 pounds in this backpack. And he says, just to kind of even it up, let's do this. And the guy thought, you know what, he's getting a little bit ticked off, right? He's like, you know, this was a race. Oh, they had a $100 bet on it, too. They had a $100 bet on it. And the guy had nothing, so he had to borrow the money off of his ex-girlfriend to do this thing. And the guy's like, don't worry, it's a shoe-in. He says, he's like this, he can hardly walk. So anyhow, he's going, sorry, I got on the $100 thing. And he goes, okay, he says, I will agree to wear the backpack and give you a 24, however long head start it was, but that's it. He said, that's it. He says, that's ridiculous. He says, let's just get this on. So the old man, he goes there he says, okay, well, you say go. Well, that's very nice to the cop, right? He says, you say go. Thank you. I get something out of this. So he says, go. And the guy runs like this, and he's just kind of hobbling along like this. And he gets to the 20-foot mark, and this guy, he's like, man, I'm going to go. And he's looking, and he just burns it backwards like this. Any guesses what happened? Fell right on his bum. Old man, he ran off, he won the race. And this old man said to him, he said, listen, he said, you come back tomorrow and you tell me what this means and I will teach you how to get all this back. And the guy had been in the stock market, that's why he stopped being a police officer, had millions of dollars and lost it all. Anyhow, he came back the next morning and met with this guy. He says, He said, what did you learn? He said, I learned that if you can make the rules, you'll always win. And the guy looked at him and he said, I have 4 kids that are going to university. They've been all over the world doing learning and this, that, and the other thing, he says, and none of them could figure that out. So God makes the rules. He will always, always win. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we want to place that honor on him. We want to place that honor on him. I mean, it's his anyhow. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard. That's huge. There's another, in another spot it says, and he will cause your enemies to come before you one way and flee before you 7 ways. That's a huge tactical advantage. Number one, that you're only dealing with one at a time, and number two, that they're running away from you and they're not going to a place of where they can gather up again. They're dispersing. And it's a lot easier to chase and trip and hurt someone, an enemy, than it is when you're being surrounded. That's how we honor God. This whole morning, Psalm 91, all the songs that we were singing, all about love and conquering. And this is the other thing that I have to say about God in honoring him. I wrote it down. I was all over. He is not a survival God. He's an I'm taking the land God. He's not here to help you stand necessarily. There are times when you have to stand, but when you're standing, you're not standing like this. You're standing like this, and you're ready to go, right? And he is not a God of just holding the fort. He's a God of I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it. There's scriptures all over the Bible that are like that. That's not the end of the honoring. Literally every area of my life where I have gone to him and asked him for help, he has helped me. Literally every time I've called out to him, I've seen legs grow. I have seen things appear. My wife, this is unbelievable. Well, it is believable because I saw it. My wife lost her rings. and in her wedding ring. And in the middle of the night, she wakes me up. And she says, Tim, she wakes me up because the light's on. And she's running all over the house trying to find her rings. And anyhow, and I'm going, what the heck are you doing? She says, I can't find my ring. So I have to get up at like 6 in the morning, and I'm like pouty. So I go and I sit on the couch. And I'm just, I looked a little bit first. But then I realized what I had learned before, which I'll talk about later, that, okay, Lord, I'm just going to sit down in my pouty attitude, and I'm going to listen to you, and I'm just saying, Lord, I don't know where these rings are. I said, just tell me where they are or put them where I can see them. And I literally sat there with my arms crossed, and now I'm starting to tune. I'm starting to get to tune now rather than being pouty. And I'm standing, I sit there, and we had already searched the hearth of the fireplace and everything, and I sat there and I'm like, and I'm blinking like this. I watched those rings appear before my eyes. I went from being pouty to being very, very scared. That was unbelievable. It was believable, but I'm just saying it was so beyond what I'd ever experienced before. I was fearful. I was like, Margaret. And she comes in, I just pointed. And she's like, well, we already looked there. We both looked there. Like, we had run our hands on it and everything. It wasn't like it wasn't camouflaged. Anyhow, so that was another thing. That is to honor God. My son, he comes running up to me one time. He was dressed in a Ninja Turtle outfit. Comes running up and he jumps over the couch, just showing off to Dad. He falls right on his head. He misses one arm, falls right on his head. I knew right away something was wrong. Something was wrong. I ran around the couch and I grabbed him. His eyes are spinning all over the place and he's half unconscious. And I grabbed him and I just said, Lord, he's just a young boy trying to have fun. Please heal him. No sooner did the words come out of my head and he goes, that was fast. Just like that. That was fast. And me being the conscientious dad, and what a miracle. That was a miracle. He goes and he runs around the house and he continues playing. Like nothing happened to him at all. And I asked him about 20 minutes later, right? Because I was in, did a little bit with medical stuff. And I said, Braden, how's your head? He said, Dad, you're so silly. He healed me. Man, that is gold. That is gold right there. That's gold. My other son, because we need our kids to see this stuff. My other son, he fell, hit his head, and his eye turned right in. It was paralyzed there. And so he had to wear a patch for many years. And we were believing for healing for him. But anyhow, they went into bifocals to help his eyes fuse together. And then they went into glasses. Anyhow, we lost his glasses, or he lost his glasses. Whoever lost his glasses, they were lost. And they were lost for 3 days. And my wife is very particular about cleaning the house. She's very particular about that. So we were renovating the upstairs, so we were sleeping downstairs in this room, but our room was always immaculate. She would make the bed like 6 times a day. You'd sit on it, and she'd say, come on, what are you doing? And she'd get up, and she'd like flip everything out and everything. And I love that about her, by the way. So anyhow, my son loses his glasses. 3 days go by, I'm always getting frustrated. We don't want to spend $350 to buy new glasses, right? And I asked her, I said, did you pray? And she said, well, no, why don't you pray? And I said, well, why don't you pray? I said, because God will do this for you too. Anyhow, and I got the look, and then I repented. And I said, okay, let's go pray. So my wife and I and my son, we laid on the bed. We laid on the bed, or like just kind of, he laid on the bed, and Margaret was kind of laying on, and I'm just leaning against it, like on my knees. And I prayed again, Lord, I don't know where those glasses are, but you do. Either tell us where they are, show us where they are, or put them where we can find them. We get off the bed. 3 days, at least three nights we were sleeping in that bed. My wife takes the covers. Guess what popped up 3 feet in the air? The glasses. These are the kinds of things that God can do. And it's amazing. That is to honor God. That is to honor God. He can do far more than we could possibly ever ask or think. I want to lighten it a little bit. I'm going to tell you a joke. So this guy's driving along and he's swerving all over the place. And the police pull up behind him and pull him over. And the police officer walks up to the door. I'm an auxiliary RCMP, so I can say this joke. Walks up to the door and taps on the window, and the guy rolls down his window, and the policeman says, sir, have you been drinking? He looks up at him and says, I have not been drinking. The police officer looks over. He says, well, what's that over there? Well, that's just a bottle of water. He says, let me see that. So he gives him the bottle of water, and police officer opens up the lid and he smells it and he goes, that's wine. And he goes, praise the Lord, he did it again. That's awesome. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. This is the Amplified. The Lord is my shepherd, to feed, to guide, and to shield me. I shall not want. Quite literally, if we really believe that, I could walk away and go home, and that would be a mouthful. How many people in here are in want or in need? You don't have to raise your hands, but I'll tell you what. If you're like every other person on the planet, unless you're in a very select few, there's probably, I'm in want. We read that. The Lord is my shepherd, but I am in want. He lets me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters and quiet waters. He refreshes and restores my soul, life. He leads me in the path of righteousness. For his name's sake, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Your rod to protect, your staff to guide. They comfort and console me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You have anointed and refreshed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and unfailing love shall follow me, and mercy, all the days of my life. And I will dwell forever throughout all my days in the house and in the presence of the Lord. That is love. That is a description of love that God has towards us. And today I'm going to talk about love. But I'm not going to concentrate a whole lot on God's love for us. Because I'm getting to the second one. There's three areas of love that I'm going to talk about. The first one, but we have to get to this. You have to understand that God loves you. You have to be able to determine in your heart, I am a jerk sometimes. I sin lots. I'm mean. I get mad. I'm, in many cases, a failure. But we have to understand that regardless of all that, he loves us. That is the first thing we have to grab onto, is that he loves us. Because this second area that we're going to talk to, even though they're married together, is going to be really hard to accept. Really hard to accept. In this scripture here, basically, he covers off on everything, every area of your life. Every area of your life. I'm going to another scripture here. It's another one that tells us. This is where. Here we go. John 15, verse 8. My Father is glorified and honored by this, when you bear much fruit, and prove yourselves to be my true disciples. Verse 9, I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. Now in the Amplified it says this, and do not doubt my love for you. That is so self-explanatory. I'm flipping back and forth here between my notes and the scriptures that I had on there. So we have to understand that God loves us. We have to. In my life, I understand that God loves me. And that's why he has done the miracles that I just shared. And I'm telling you, there, I can go on and on and on and on. And unfortunately, this morning I had on my notes, I have one that I keep track of all the miracles that God has done for me. Here's another one. I was running a motorcycle. First time I'd ever ridden a motorcycle, and it was very powerful, and I was up in the BCR site, and there was a big jump there and everything, and I came flying off that thing accidentally because I panicked because I'd never ridden a bike before, and I cracked it open, and it just shot. It shot up about probably 8 feet, and then down below, because it was such a high jump, they had a big long so that you could not just hit like this but go down. Anyhow, here I am. I'm up in the air, and now I'm upside down, and I'm going straight down. I'm nosing right down into the ground, and I remember I just pushed the bike away from me. It hit the ground. It compressed the shocks in the front, and it came right back, and it hit me right in the knee. It had a steel tank. I dented the steel tank. Like, that's how hard it hit me. I got off that thing. I landed on my head too, obviously, and I was wearing a helmet. And anyhow, I got back on the bike, and I mean, I'm in excruciating pain, and I limp this bike back, and they're looking, my brother-in-law was looking, he says, what the heck happened? You dented the thing. I said, that was my knee that hit it, and I got to go home. On my way home, I'm praying, and this was when we first started our business, and I said, Lord, I said, my wife cannot see me in this condition. I said, I got to deliver water. I got to get this done. I said, I cannot be laid up. I said, I need you to heal me before she comes home. And because I was being stupid, right? I should never have done that. But it's a common theme sometimes. But I love it. I love it. So anyhow, God healed me. Before my wife got home from work that night, I was nothing, absolutely nothing. I was walking around, and it was with great joy that I told her what happened. I really hurt myself today. I couldn't even walk, and God healed me. And she's like, that's good. That's really good. So anyhow, so what we really need to understand God's love for us. Because now we're going to go into the second one. This is really tough for most people. You need to love yourself. You have to love yourself. I'm going to read you a verse in the Bible that will explain to you why we need to love ourselves. Oh, thank you. But I say to you, this is Luke 6:27, but I say to you, hear me and pay attention to my words. Love, that is unselfishly seek the best or higher good for your enemies. Make it a practice to do good to those who hate you. But I say to you, love, that is unselfishly seek the best or higher good for your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may show yourselves to be the children of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on those who are evil and those who are good, and makes a rain to fall on the righteous, those who are morally upright, and unrighteous, the unrepentant, to those who oppose him. For if you love only those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do that? Now that's a different verse, but it's verse 44 to 46, but I have no idea what chapter that is. I took it out accidentally. Now, why do we need to love ourselves? And Jesus replied, this is when they were asked, what is the greatest commandments? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That is, unselfishly seek the best or higher good for others. You can also say that as yourself, unselfishly seek the best or higher good for yourself. That is really hard, but I'm going to tell you right now, if you do not love yourself, and if there's two things that if you do not love yourself, now, we're not talking about arrogance. We're not talking about that type of pride and stuff like that. We're talking about just a healthy love for yourself. If you do not love yourself and find a place where you can accept yourself and say, you are good, you're going to have a really hard time receiving from God. Because there's always going to be that thing, I don't know that I'm good enough for that. By his stripes, we are healed. Well, you know, I've got this sin in my life. You know what? Or this, that, or the other thing. Doesn't even matter. But we always come up with excuses, and we don't even consciously sometimes think about it. Some of these things are so ingrained into us that it's just a common way. Ah, yeah, I get it, but. And then we come up with a doctrine that says it's for someone else and not for us. We need to unselfishly seek the best or higher good for ourselves so that, love your neighbor as yourself, we can actually unselfishly seek the best and higher good for others. I'm just getting back to my notes again. I learned how to love myself, and I'm going to tell you how. How much time do we have? Time? Okay. I remember I was driving up, and some of you have heard part of this. I was driving up by the jail. I'm crying out to God. I had two business deals that went absolutely horrible. Absolutely horrible. Like, one was like, there was a group of us that put in like $230,000 US. Completely fell apart. And there was another one that we had put in, and it was like our last dimes almost. And it was there was one for $10,000, another one for $5,000. And it completely fell apart. The person just stole the money and went. And, what happened was, and this had been kind of the story of my life, and I remember that I'm driving up there, and I'm going, God, I am sick and tired of Christianity by trial and error. There's no reason why this should happen if I'm hearing you or if I know what you're saying. I said, I think that I'm doing good by putting it out there. I'm taking a risk. I'm believing in you. I tithe. I love tithing. And I said, and I don't get it. I said, but regardless of that, like, you're always King of Kings and Lord of Lords in my life. I will always consider you that. And then I started to rant. And I said, but God, I don't even, because I said, I love you and I care about you. And I said, well, I don't even know if I love you. I love, respect you, but I don't really know Like, how can I love you? I can't see you. I can't feel you. I see the creation that you have all around me. I said, but that is really hard to equate. I said, I am having a hard time loving the people that are around me that I can touch, feel, talk to, and all this other stuff. And I said, but anyhow. And I left it at that. And a week later, the Lord gave me a hug coming down the same spot, right in my spirit, right in my tummy. And so that was the touch. Then I could talk to him. He talked to me. He said, can you feel that? That's me giving you a hug. And that was the beginning of learning how to love, because a week later I went to Dave and Lila Berkovas, and they led me through this thing of how to hear the voice of the Lord. And by hearing the voice of the Lord, now he could tell me he loved me. So he's telling me that he loves me, and I'm feeling a lot better about myself. And then I'm standing in front of the mirror, and I went, man, if I don't love you, I'm calling God a fool. And that's the truth. God loves you. If you say, no, there's a spot there where we got to stop, we're calling him a fool. And he's no fool. He is no fool. Then it went from that to him starting to really do a lot of things. I'm driving down the road delivering water, and he says, Tim, you need to go into there and take some water in there. I'm like, well, they're every Thursday. Why would I go in there? Like, and then I'm thinking, okay, I'll go in there. So I went in there. They had a guy there, and he was a tyrant. Man, he did not want to run out of water. He did not want to run out of water. If I run out of water, man, you're going to hear about it, water man. So anyhow, I go in there. They had literally just run out of water. Just run out of water. It wasn't even their day for a delivery. So anyhow, I go in there, and he goes, oh, man. He says, you're lucky. And he was kind of playing around because he knew that it wasn't his. He says, anyhow, and so here I am. So I get back in my van, and I'm got like, God, how simple was that? I wasn't going to get in trouble. They had a weekly delivery. But he started doing these little things for me. Oh, God, you actually care about these tiny little things in my life, really. And I said, and so he started really building that. There was another time where I was up, and the Lord said, you go stop in there. And it was a delivery. They were just a call in. And I stopped in, and here they had three bottles out. They had already called in the morning. And I dropped the water off, and there was a check there and everything I put up. And the Lord had saved me almost a half hour in my day. Just by that, the little things, right? So he's going and showing me these things, and then he starts going. He really challenged me. He said, Tim, you got to think good about yourself. And this is what I did. Every morning that I got up in the morning, I said, every single good thing that happens to you, you deserve. That was really hard for about 3 months. That was really hard because, that hurt actually when I said that. Then I added to that, because I was feeling a lot better about it after 3 months, I said, Tim, you are happy, you are healthy, and you're good looking. And I'm telling you, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. I don't even care what anyone else thinks, right? But at that point, I kept building and building and building this value in myself. And I started expecting that when Jesus said, by his stripes you are healed. And if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, it will happen. Well, why would he do that for me? Because I don't really have that much value. Well, now the value was starting to get there. My wife walks by me in the hallway, and for the first time in my life, I had butterflies. And I literally went, what was that? And she turned around and looked at me, because it startled her, right? And she goes, what? And I said, well, I felt something weird in my stomach. Anyhow, I started loving my wife properly. And that was amazing. See, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, I actually started loving my wife. There was something I could actually say, this is love. And now I know what I'm telling you. So, I tell people I love them all the time. And I do. When I hug someone, I mean it. It's different now. You need to learn to love yourself. You cannot, what did I write here? You cannot lose. Here we go. You can't lose unless you make a decision, a conscious or unconsciously, to lose. When you love yourself, you will automatically start making decisions to win. Automatically. And I'm going to tell you something. Pastor Henry Wright, he wrote a book called A More Excellent Way, and he gets right into healing. I mean, like, into the whole physiological thing. And I'm probably going to screw up in a little bit, but there's a couple points that I know are going to be proper. He said that people, and he deals with a lot of people's autoimmune diseases and stuff like that, and they totally, yeah, you would know about that. That's through Minnick and Marley that he gave me that information. Anyhow, and he said in there, and he's written it down, so he's accountable for it, and he says that people with Crohn's and lupus, there's a thing that keeps attacking them, and it's called a white corpuscle. And a white corpuscle is designed to attack rogue cancer cells. But these white corpuscles actually are turning on their own body. It's actually a form of suicide, really, when you think about it. And he in there, he said, every single person I've ever dealt with lupus or Crohn's or anything like that, he said, they get healed. If they lend themselves to the ministry, they get healed. We're talking about an incurable disease. But what happens, he says, it all comes from self-hate. Their mind has been so convinced that they are unworthy that it's telling their own body to attack itself. That's how important this is. It is so important. So, so important. So by loving yourself, when I'm making a business decision now, unlike before when I would have such poor self-worth and make a decision to actually self-destruct, and I did it lots, I can prove it that I was doing that, I started making decisions that were actually healthy and making us succeed. I was making good decisions at home. I was making good decisions with God now. It flows. Once you start believing it, it flows through your whole body, and you actually start making these good decisions. If you can grab onto that, I'm telling you, that is amazing. When you start to love yourself, you have now, you're giving yourself two choices. But you're going to lean towards one. Number one, you can look through the eyes of man, or you can look through the eyes of God. And the more you love yourself and have that relationship with God, which is absolutely the most important thing, and understand his love for you, you start making decisions looking through the eyes of Jesus. The disciples would they were fishing, and Jesus said, they weren't catching anything. Throw your nets on the other side. Well, that's completely ridiculous, but we're going to do it anyhow. And they almost sank the boat. They had to call their competitors over to help them. Talk about instant wealth. That's what he does. And they looked through his eyes, and they did that. They didn't just keep throwing the nets on this side. Go and, Peter, just go, and I want you to just go fishing. And when the first fish you catch, take a coin out of its mouth. Go pay your tribute and mine. Those are the things that you start looking at. You need to love yourself. And guess what happens? I have a really good relationship, and they have done everything to try and wipe us out. That's business, right? That's the way they do business. That's fine. I'm not trying to rail on them at all. They're just doing business. They're a big corporation. They're just doing business. So, but they obviously want our customers. The other guy also wants our customers that's in town. And he has spoken just ignoramus things about us and everything else. Lies. But you know what? The one guy that phoned us, his machine broke down. His water machine, he couldn't bottle any water, and he had no water. Guess what we did? He phoned me up. He said, listen, I'm in a bad spot. No problem. Bring your bottles over. We'll have them ready for you by the end of the day. Have them ready for you. Well, how much do you want for that? I said, you don't even need to pay me. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemies, right? Hope the best for them. And by loving myself and having this relationship upward and accepting, now we're I'm not afraid of them. I'm not afraid of them. And I want to bless them. And now maybe one day he'll be coming to church with me, right? And that's what we're talking about. And self-love is so important for that. You have to have that confidence in yourself and that love to receive from God so that you can pour out into other people's lives. I have a tremendous amount more to say, but I'm going to leave it right there because I think that that is amazing. That is God. And I look at the situation in this church and the love that you guys, it was obvious. It's obvious the love that you guys and the camaraderie you have. So love yourself. That's the next step, because I'll tell you what, I know there are people in here that do not like themselves. I know it. Fall in love with yourself and be healthy about it. The Lord gave me a word. It's very easy, very simple one. There's something happening good in this place. Sometimes, when it feels like a step back, it's actually a step forward. And that was the word that the Lord gave me here. And I'm going to leave it there, and I just want to say thank you guys for honoring me to allow me to stand up here and share with you. I honestly love this place. I love the people here. You are amazing. Absolutely amazing. Fall in love with yourself. See how he sees you. And that is all I have to say. Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.